Number 175. Would you kneel with me in a word of prayer? Our kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, as we would gather together this morning, we're truly thankful for this opportunity we have to come together, to fellowship, to hear your word preached, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would be here this morning, that you'd touch the mind and the heart and the lips of our speaker, that you give him the liberty of thought and mind to give us the message that you have placed upon his heart. Lord, I ask that you bless us as hearers as well, that we might be able to pay attention and to glean from this service what is necessary for our soul's salvation. Father, I pray for the many who don't have this opportunity, who are scattered and isolated, that you would comfort and strengthen them and see to their needs. I pray for those who are traveling. I pray for thy people where they are gathered together, wherever it might be, that you would bless them in strength and power. Father, we are mindful of the many who stand in need of our prayers, physically and spiritually. Lord, as they dealing with the infirmities of this body and also with the temptations and the sins in our lives, I pray that you'd continue to work with us and strengthen us. Please bless us as a people. Help us to see the error of our ways and to... And forgive us, Lord, and help us to overcome. Father, I I do give thee all the praise and the glory, and I'm truly thankful for the gift of thy Son. And in his name I do pray, amen. We're going to continue with number 81 in the Red Book, and while you're looking that up, I'm going to read the announcements for the week. I'd now ask that you'd give our brother Billy your careful and your prayerful attention.
Bob, do you know the definition of a double whammy? Well, you're about to find out. I've titled my sermon this morning, Thy Will Be Done. You know, it's an important thing, very important thing for us to know the Lord's will in our life. And it's also a very difficult thing for us to know the Lord's will in our life. For us to know what God has in store for us, there's more to it than just reading. There's more to it than just asking God, okay, God, what do you have in store for me? What do you have ahead for me? I wish it was that easy. But one of the problems that we see in today's civilization is in our religious world, we see a world of people that have asked that question and to the best of their understanding, they have been given an answer to that question. And the answer to their question sometimes leads us to mass confusion, such as the multitude of different religions in this world. I really doubt that there's very many of those people that instituted those religions that didn't ask God for direction. And they applied those directions in instituting what they thought was the correct course of action for them to take, and many of them establishing different directions that our religions go. And we know that if you've got 1,000 different religions, at least 999 of them are wrong if they're different. At least that many are wrong, maybe all of them. But the point that I'm trying to establish is that it is extremely difficult to know what God's will is. You have to do a lot more than simply ask God, what do you have in store for me? I believe that the example that Jesus gave us when he showed us the Lord's Prayer, showed us how to pray, and we can see that example in the 6th chapter of Matthew, when he gives us the Lord's Prayer. And part of the Lord's Prayer, he says, thy will be done. And Jesus, talking to God and telling us, this is how you pray, God, thy will be done. And it's Jesus showing us in our prayers that we must ask God to know his will in our lives. One of the first scriptures that comes to my mind when I think of Jesus showing us how important it is to know God's will in our lives is, I remember two things in particular. One is the Lord's Prayer, and the other is the situation that Jesus was in when he was in the garden. And the soldiers, he was just before the soldiers came to take him away. He was praying. And we can read that in the 26th, one of the places we can read it is Matthew in the 26th chapter. And we can also read it in the 14th chapter of Mark and the 22nd chapter of Luke and in the Book of Mormon as well. And here Jesus says, O my Father, in verse 39, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And he was talking about those terrible things that he knew were going to come upon him. But he finished it with the statement that said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." We ask an awful lot of God. I mean, we're told that we are supposed to ask an awful lot of God. We're supposed to present everything that we do to God. And the last sermon that I had when I stood here, I talked about prayer and the way that we needed to pray and the things that we needed to pray for and the different facets of prayer. But this week I want to be specific about talking about asking that thy will be done and determining what God is telling us once we make that statement. Once we ask Him to know His will, for us to recognize God's will is another aspect of it that is sometimes very difficult. There's another scripture here, back just a few chapters in the 19th chapter of Matthew. Matthew 19, and we can read it starting in the verse 16. And this is a parable about the rich young ruler. And it says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And that's a question that each one of us, I believe, have asked God. We've asked that same thing to God. What must I do to have eternal life? And if you haven't, you better. It's necessary in our lives. "And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, eternal life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself." And there's literally hundreds of others little things that thou should do and thou shouldn't do. And most of them probably fall into that category of loving thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Now, I don't believe Jesus is telling each one of us that this really applies to us specifically. That it is an example that all of us have to go and sell everything that we have and follow Him. But I believe that was necessary for this young ruler. And I believe it was necessary because he saw this rich young ruler. And he saw the area in his life that needed some attention, that this guy was having trouble with. And the Lord recognized, perhaps, this guy has a problem with his treasures. His riches are keeping him from attaining the level of spirituality that he wants to attain. And for each one of us, it could probably be different things. For some of us, it might be riches. For others, it might be our time. For others, it might be something else. But for this young man, it was his riches. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And I want to end it there. And I've thought about this scripture before, and sometimes I've been hesitant. I find that I have been a little bit hesitant in being honest with God. I would like to know His will, but I sure hope it conforms to my will. What if it doesn't? What if I ask God what His will is, and He tells me, and it's something I don't like? What am I going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? What if God told me to sell all that I have, give to the poor, and come and follow Him? I would like to think that if He told me that, I would do it. I don't know. I don't know if I would. If I guess the most difficult part of that is knowing that that's what God told you, and just believing it. How do you absolutely know? If there was not a doubt in my mind, I believe I would do it. If I knew that that was God's will. But how do we know absolutely, positively God's will in our lives? Millions and millions of people have asked to know His will and have misunderstood it because of all the different religions in our world today. Religions they've joined because God has revealed to them that that's correct. And this one joined this one because God revealed that one's correct. And there's all aspects of our life. God has revealed, we believe, revealed to us different things in our lives that we believe we understand God's will. How do we know for a fact God's will? That is something that is, there's no easy answer to it. But yet we must know God's will in our life. When I remember a situation once in my life where it took place right here in the church, that I believe God revealed something to me. And it was a situation where I was supposed to go and talk to another brother. And I really believe that God was leading me to do this, but I didn't know it. I just felt it strongly in my heart. So I did that. I acted upon it out of faith. I went and in talking to this brother, something miraculous happened. And to me, it was miraculous. Nobody else would have known it. But to me, it was miraculous. And I'm not going to go into what it was that happened. But it was another one of those things that made me believe that I did God's will. And because of what happened, I really believed that I knew that that was God's will. And yet, this took place in another brother's house, and I was walking home. 5-minute walk. And as I was walking home, doubts. Doubts came up in my mind again. And I had this thought, did I know that that was God's will? And again, I felt bad because I had doubts. I didn't want to doubt. But yet I wasn't absolutely, positively sure that was God's will. I came to an evening service that night. I listened to a sermon. A sermon that our brother Marvin Ely gave. And something he said in that sermon, I don't remember what it was, but something he said in that sermon convinced me again that that was God's will, that His will was done. and that I did His will, and it encouraged me again. But did I know absolutely positively that that was God's will? No, I really didn't. I feel strongly with all my heart that it was, and I have the faith that it was God's will. But I did not absolutely know it. There was no facts, no absolute facts that convinced me. And I really believe that that is how God works with most of His people. It requires a tremendous amount of faith. Something that I hope each one of us pray for in each one of our prayers. Pray for a stronger faith. And when we pray that we know God's will, pray that you'll understand God's will. And that He'll help you realize what He has in store for you. You know, there's, in our young men out here, somewhere out there, there's some future apostles, elders and apostles, ministry of the Church of Christ. Is it for you? Is it for one of our young men here? Or several of them? You know, we can make up our mind if we want to follow and serve God. And if we do like this rich young ruler did, and I'm sorrowful, but I am not willing to give up the things that I enjoy in this life. I am not willing to give those things up. You're not going to be called into His service, you young men. You must have the dedication in your life that God wants to see in order for you, if you want to serve Him, you don't just tell Him about it, you act upon it. You follow Him, you keep His commandments. And that goes for each one of us. To know God's will, we have to live the lives of righteousness that God will reveal to us His will. And the life of righteousness that we'll have the faith, the strong faith to know when He's talking to us and to know when it isn't, the difference between our own strong desire to do good and to know what God's will is in our life. And to make that final step past where this rich young ruler was. Lord, I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to accept whatever You have in store for me. If I have to live the rest of my life as an invalid to reach the kingdom of heaven, so be it. If I have to live as a beggar, so be it. That's a difficult, very difficult statement to make in our lives. We don't want that for ourselves. A good example of this is Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're familiar with this story. It's about the hardship that Paul had. He calls it in verse 7, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." We don't know what this was. There's a lot of speculation, but it doesn't matter what it was. There was something that Paul said in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, that it might depart from me. And I'm sure many of us have had situations where we've sought the Lord many more times than that. But here it was revealed to Paul. And he said unto me, the Lord, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's statement is, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, that each one of us can make that statement. That I hope and pray that we can make that statement. God, if this is necessary, the hardships, whatever it is necessary in my life for me to make it to the kingdom of heaven, so be it. Help me to accept that. And I accept it with pleasure, with joy in my heart. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I hope that's a statement that each one of us can make. And when we seek the Lord's will, realize that you're taking a huge step. Maybe what the Lord has in store for you is not what you would like. Maybe it's going to require sacrifice such as you haven't known before. Can you still make that statement? Lord, whatever it takes, it's going to require a tremendous amount of faith in our parts. Paul, excuse me, and Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, in the 3rd chapter, in the 12th verse, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, when we suffer the trials and tribulations and persecutions in this life, most of us, and I'm sure I'm included in this, ask God to deliver us from those things. And I hope in making our request that we know His will as part of our prayer, I hope that we also recognize that we're making the same type of statement that Paul did, that, Lord, I pray that these things will be taken from us and help us through these trials and tribulations and temptations, and have your spirit to be with me no matter what I come up against. We might have some trials and tribulations coming up that we're not aware of, and I believe probably there's a good chance somebody in here will face some major problems in the future. When we have to deal with these major problems, pray that you'll have the faith. Pray that you'll recognize God's will. And know for a fact that the promises of God throughout the scriptures tell us I will not leave you alone. There's nothing that we're going to go through in this life that we can't handle with God's help. If we try to make it without God's help, we're going to fail miserably. I've done it before and I don't like it. I remember a situation once. I was working for another man in another company. I was going to be his next general manager. And I was waiting for that position to open up. And lo and behold, time comes. My boss is ready to hire a general manager. And I'm ready. I've earned it. I've proved myself. And he gives the position to a friend of his, a high school buddy, that was his accountant, that knew nothing about the business. I was frustrated. I was furious. I started looking for another job. I found another job that was absolutely perfect for me, a larger company. They needed a production manager. I was probably the most experienced person in the state of Arizona for that position. The people that were lower than I was at that new company had worked for me before. They wanted to work for me. They put good references in for me. They told their bosses, hire this guy. He's the best thing that can happen to this company. And I knew I was right for that position. It was a good job. And I prayed about it. Lord, fix it up. You know, this is for me. You know it is. That's the job I want. And I prayed about it. And I didn't get the job. And I'm trying to figure out why. And there was no logical, good reason why. I was on my way to work one day. I was praying the same prayer. Lord, help me get this job. Do what you have to do. And it hit me like a 2x4 upside the head. You're praying wrong. And he, the Lord, helped me to realize what I was doing wrong. I was leaving out, thy will be done. Help me to know your will. And I left that out. But I didn't leave it out of that prayer that day. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to know your will. I got to work. 10 minutes later, I got a phone call from a company that was setting up a brand new big shop here in Phoenix. They wanted me to come interview. They heard I was looking for a job. They wanted me to interview for the position of general manager. I ended up getting the job. It didn't last, but I got the experience that I needed in business management, working with the numbers that I had never had before as a production manager. And a year, a little over a year later, I started my own company. And I couldn't have done it without that experience. And God knew that's what I needed, but I didn't. When we recognize our need to ask for His will in our life, He's got things planned for us that are so much greater than we can ever imagine if we allow Him to help run our lives and if we let Him be a bigger part of making the decisions in our lives. It's necessary. I remember also another experience I had down at the old church on Harvard. I was just new in the gospel, just shortly after we were married. And I was doing a lot of studying. We're making regular trips out to Hubert's house, doing a lot of studying with him. And a year or so went by, and I got to the point to where I really wanted to know the Lord's will in my life. And I had the desire to serve the Lord. And I was getting to where I really thought I knew a lot about the Scriptures then. Because we were really doing a lot of studying, pretty intensive studying. And I don't remember all the details, but there was a revelation given one day. I believe it was our brother Hausnick that stood and spoke under the influence of the Spirit of God. And he spoke, "Thus saith the Lord." And one of the things that he said, he spoke to me. God spoke to me. And he told me that my calling at that time was not to serve him in the ministry. I don't remember if that was the exact wording of it, but the emphasis of his statement to me was, your calling at this time is to serve the people of the church, to help the people in the church. And he wasn't specific on which ways I was to help, but I knew that I had a God-given calling to help the people in the church. And God spoke to me. And when I think, and I thought of the magnitude of such an event, it changed my life right then. And I mean, I was somebody. And I knew God's will in my life. And that was a marvelous thing, a marvelous experience. And I believe that he has, in some cases, he's already revealed it to a lot of you. But in some cases, there's things that he wants to reveal to you in your life, that he wants you to be in the right state of righteousness, maybe be a little bit closer to him than what you are, maybe recognize how much more you need him than you think you do. It could be any number of little things like that, or a combination of all of them. But if we have a strong enough faith, if we have the dedication that it takes to get in there and work, to serve him, to learn what God has written and the things that he has in store for us, and the things that we're supposed to do and the things that we're not supposed to do that are in the Scriptures, and we learn those things by studying, by listening, by living our lives like he wants us to live them, and showing him that we're willing to live our lives for him, not for ourselves, but for him. He will, I believe, reveal those things to us that are similar to that type of experience that I had. Maybe not exactly like that. And it might be just between you and him and your mind. But it's there. I believe that God will reveal those things to us. Scripture I want to read in Romans 12th chapter. You know, I was thinking, I made a few notes, and I'm thinking, well, this is going to be a short and precise sermon. And I've gotten about halfway through it so far. In Maybe it's because it takes me so long to find scriptures. This is a theme that we had at our camp 1 year. And a scripture that is familiar to every one of us. Once I start it, you'll all be able to finish it, I'm sure. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed. Renewing your mind, your spirit, becoming stronger spiritually. And that is how we're going to know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In 1 John, I'm going to read several of these scriptures and going through them fairly quick here now, I hope. 1 John 2:17. And the world passeth away and the lust of it, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. If we don't, in order to do the will of God, we've got to know the will of God. In order to know the will of God, we've got to ask God and listen. There's a scripture, the last scripture I looked up, I'm going to go to right now, that it was in 1 Kings 19:12. And it talks about a still, small voice. And sometimes that's what we have to stop and listen for. Sometimes we will ask God and just charge full speed ahead and not take the time to stop and listen. And you don't listen for the earth-shaking voice. You listen for the still, small voice of God. The voice that speaks to your mind and reveals things to you. It's there, but we've got to take the time to listen. In the 143rd chapter of Psalms, David writes, "Teach me to do thy will." It's one of the things that David recognized was important. And it's something that he recognized God had to teach him to do thy will. Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And a statement that Jesus made in Mark, the 3rd chapter. Verse 35, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." And I'm going to close with that. I've got a few more, but that's enough for our sermon today. I hope that each one of us will put ourselves in the position of that rich young ruler. And that God will, when we ask, "What lack I yet?" that God will reveal to us through that still small voice what area it is that might be specific to you and to me, to each one of us, that we still lack a little bit yet to attain the level of righteousness that we're looking for and to know what God's will is in our life. We need to know what His will is and pray that He'll reveal that little thing to your mind and that you'll have a strong enough faith to recognize it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill. We're going to close this morning with number 293. Number 2 9 3. Bow with me in prayer. My kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, we're again approaching Thy throne of grace this morning, truly thankful for Your goodness to us, thankful for the gift of Thy Son, thankful for the Scriptures You've given to guide and direct us, and thankful for the ministry that You've called and touched. Father, I'm thankful for the message that You brought for us today. Father, I pray for Your forgiveness. Pray for Your strength for the time that we live in. Father, I pray that we truly might be able to submit to Thee and Thy will be done. Father, I ask that You'd be with us as we go throughout the day, as we would visit about things and about You, that You would be the focus of our day. I ask that You bless us until we can meet again, that You'd watch over everyone on the highways and byways. And continue to bless those who stand in need of our prayers, physically and spiritually. And we pray this in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.